Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all share in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. Well, so welcome to the 602nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of this message today is 2023 Endgame Update number 18. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all in to concluding what we began last week. And that's understanding why so many in this world are deceived and living a lie. And as we learned last week, the Bible tells us why. Black letters on white paper, folks. Plain, straight, and simple. These are the things that must come to pass before Jesus returns. Remember, St. Paul warned us that Satan, through his Antichrist, will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they'll be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. And that's the truth, folks, because the Bible tells us so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. So stay tuned to see how the mastery of Satan will be soon released, and the misery of man will be redoubled. But praise the Lord, the majesty of Jesus be revealed. The bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people. And what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through. So stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell us as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. And remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. As we do every week, folks, let's get started with something from last week's episode. Now, last week, we covered Tucker Carlson's ousting from Fox News. It was shocking, it was sudden, and I'd say unexpected. And in the closing of the clip from his appearance on the Full Send podcast, Tucker gave this advice to we the people. And I'm telling you what, folks, in fact, you know what? Let's play that entire clip just to remind ourselves context of the advice he gave us concerning our attitude or what our attitude should be towards the mainstream media. So let's just listen to Tucker on the Full Send podcast, giving the backstory on a clip that I'm going to start using a lot in this show.
Like, I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no... Yeah, I know, because you're younger and smarter, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you're me, and you spent your whole life in that world, and to look around, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Not only are they part of the problem, but I spent most of my life being part of the problem defending the Iraq War. Like, I actually did that. Can you imagine if you did that?
Well, what do you think? What is one of your biggest regrets in your career?
Oh, defending the Iraq War.
That is it?
Well, I've had a million regrets. Not being more skeptical, calling people names when I should have listened to what they were saying. Look, when someone makes a claim, there's only one question that's important at the very beginning, which is the claim true or not?
Mm.
So I say, you know, you committed murder or you rigged the last election before you attack me as a crazy person for saying that, maybe you should explain whether you did it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for too long, I participated in the culture where I was like, anyone who thinks outside these pre-prescribed lanes is crazy, is a conspiracy theorist. And I just really regret that. I'm ashamed that I did that. And partly it was age. Partly it was the world that I grew up in. So when you look at me and you're like, yeah, of course they're part of the means of control. I'm like, that's obvious to you because you're 28, but I just didn't see it at all. And I'm ashamed of that.
Isn't that what the media tries to do, though?
It's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No, their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
Microphone was off, folks. Sorry. Well, this week, our freedom-loving brothers and sisters up in the North, the Great White North, Canada, they heard this clip from a man named Douglas Murray. So I'd like you to take a listen to this clip, and then I'm going to have a few comments on it. So remember, Tucker Carlson was on the Full Send podcast, and he said what he said. Now listen to Douglas Murray at the Monk Debates. Oh, and if you're wondering what the Monk Debates are, folks, they're this semi-annual debate that was established about 15 years ago or something, somewhere around 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. And it was founded by Peter and Melanie Monk. And they're usually running these debates in Toronto. And they talk about major policy issues in Canada. So just have a listen to what Douglas Murray had to say. And I think it might open your eyes. People are waking up and people are starting to see that the media isn't our friends. Have a listen.
Now Canada has become really interesting. It became interesting in January and February of this year. Why? Because you had protesters in Ottawa. Really interesting. When people come out in large numbers, you know what the job of reporters is? The job of reporters is to go out and say, why are you on the streets? What brought you here? Why are you here with your kids? Why have you got a Banksy castle in the middle of Ottawa? That's a bit strange. Ask them questions. Just find out the story. But you know what? The government didn't want that in Canada. Your Prime Minister decided in advance that these people were, all the modern excommunications. They were Nazis, they were white supremacists, they were anti-Semites, they were probably homophobes, they were misogynists, they were probably transphobes, etc., etc., etc. You did all the things you do in the modern political age if you want to just defenestrate somebody who's awkward to you. And then he brings in the Emergency Powers Act. Now, at such a time, what would the mainstream media do? It would question it. It would question it. The Canadian mainstream media did not. The Canadian mainstream media acted as an amen chorus of the Canadian government. I will give you a couple of examples. But, ladies and gentlemen, I could go on for hours with examples of this. You had a CBC host describing the Freedom Convoy as a, quote, feral mob. You had a Toronto Star columnist saying, quote, sorry for the language, it's a homegrown hate farm that was then jet-fueled by an American right-funded rat-fucking operation. Jesus, they can't even write at these papers anymore. CBC said that two Indigenous women were so scared to go outside in Ottawa because of racist violence, didn't bother to mention that Indigenous drummers had led the truckers in an O Canada rendition. The National Observer said that the many Black and Indigenous Freedom Convoy supporters were in fact duped by the truckers. The Globe and Mail reporter said, my 13-year-old son told me to tell protesters I'm not a Jew out of fear of anti-Semitic violence without mentioning that one of the leaders of the convoy was himself Jewish. Now, why is this so rancid? Utterly, utterly rancid and corrupt. Because in this country, your media, your mainstream media, is funded by the government. A totally...
Wow. The media in Canada is the amen chorus for the government? Well, why is that? Because they're funded by the government. It's like NPR here in the United States. You know, folks, I love Douglas Murray. He's one of the few up there that calls it like it is. And we need more out there like him. Now, if you don't know who this guy is, he's a British author and a political commentator. I think he's living in Canada now, but don't quote me on that. He founded the Center for Social Cohesion back in 2007, and he became part of the Henry Jackson Society. where he's been associate director for a few years, I think, from 2011 to 2018 or 19. You know, folks, we the people should hold the mainstream media, as Tucker Carlson says, in the utmost contempt. They don't work for truth. They don't work for us. They work for the global elite, the Luciferians, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, folks. And they're not here to inform you and me, but rather to shape public opinion. You know, the elite must destroy the press. Literature and journalism are two of the most important educational forces that society has on their side. So the elite's captive Western governments must control most of it. And that's what we just heard Douglas Murray say. That neutralizes the influence of privately owned media. You know, we're trying to establish this again with the alt media movement here in the United States and around the world. Now, when the elite achieve this control of the mainstream media, they have tremendous influence upon the public mind with no suspicion from most of the public. And that's what's so curious about this. So when you stop and think about it, this right-left Fox false narrative, it's all kabuki theater like I talk about every week on here. It's in appearance only, tendencies and opinions only. It creates a false confidence in reality. Folks, do not trust it. It's a trap. You must hold the mainstream media in the utmost contempt. And you know what? Maybe there's an awakening going on. Let's call it the second great awakening. You know, the Associated Press poll, the recent poll, says that half of Americans do not trust the media, and they blame the press for dividing the country. You can read this out. I think the Gateway Pundit published that. Just go over there and type in the search bar at the Gateway Pundit, Associated Press, and I think the article will pop up. But this new poll found that more than half the country doesn't trust the media, and three-fourths of Americans believe the media is dividing the country, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're getting it primed for social unrest when some false flag event, some big event occurs, like the banking collapse, and then it'll be whites against blacks, gays against straights, what do they call it, cis against trans. I don't even know all these terms, folks. Now, I think that most of the prostitutes in the media know exactly what they're doing, regardless of the evil it causes. You know why? Because they're getting bought and paid for. You know, think about it. Think about their modus operandi. First, what they do is they pick the target, like Tucker, then they freeze it, personalizing it and polarizing that individual against we the people. And then they cut off their support mechanism and isolate the target from any sort of support or sympathy. Isn't that what they did with the truckers up in Canada? So going after individuals like Tucker Carlson or the truckers and not institutions is more effective because people hurt faster and more deeply than any institution ever could. I mean, look at what's happening with Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, with this boycott. Yeah, it's hurting them. But you know what? Most likely they will survive, and that's the sad part. I wish they wouldn't. Now, take Tucker Carlson, for example. His sudden and unexpected departure from Fox, it was appalling. He was highly rated, very informative, passionate about what he did. But listen to how some of his peers in the media characterized him after this. CNN called him a right-wing media extremist, and The Guardian described him as spouting xenophobic and racist rhetoric on his show. And then think about the video he posted after Fox benched him. You know, the media was baffled by what he posted, and they referred to it as cryptic, rambling, opaque, a tirade, as well as defiant and conspiracy-laced. Honestly, folks, I don't know which is more shocking, laughable. I really don't. You know, a lot of the writing when I was reading all this about Tucker Carlson and his departure, it was on a high school level, like we heard during the Monk debate there with Mr. Douglas. Anyways, there's not even any token attempt with these writers to conceal their bias. Now, of course, all this sophomoric behavior is very cruel, but highly effective. you know, direct personalized criticism and ridicule of the works of others is, guess what? A play right out of Saul Alinsky's rule book, Rule for Radicals. You know, by the way, remember, it was a favorite of both Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama. And remember, we covered this on the show years ago. So what's the media doing? Well, all they're doing is helping the elite march us lockstep into the Great Reset. And you know, as Tucker Carlson said,
it's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No, their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian Guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
I have never heard more truth than Tucker uttered in those short 20 seconds there, folks. Listen to these two quotes. Not every item of news should be published. Rather, must those who control news policies endeavor to make every item of news serve a certain purpose. You know, one of Hitler's right-hand men, Joseph Goebbels. And then listen to this quote. I think there's an art to manipulation. Inflection, saying things twice. There's little subtleties on how to manipulate people. I mean, it's enough to change the world, you know. And that was said by Charlie Chester, CNN's technical director. And you know, folks, these news readers, these talking heads, the people at the news bench at ABC, CBS, and NBC, CNN, Fox, all of those, they are taught to do exactly what we just heard from Charlie Chester's quote. Inflection, repeating things twice. I'm doing it right now, folks. And this is exactly what the media has been doing for the elites for generations. But, you know, folks, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, let's get started with the coronavirus heist.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies are mind control. The coronavirus.
You hear that last line? Mind control. That's what the media is all about, folks. Mind control. Now, at this point in the scandemic, big reveal or collapse or whatever you want to call it, and after being banned from Twitter and then losing 90% of my followers when I finally complied and took down the one post, I think it was on the vaccination or something like that. And what was I doing? I was doing nothing more than stating the facts. Facts like the virus was engineered in a laboratory in China. Fact. How about this fact? COVID-19, no worse than the flu. Fact. And I've been saying that from day one. Masks don't do anything, so you don't need to wear one. Fact. Oh, how about the reports I've done on the wealthy elites using this lockdown and virus to profit from the vaccines? Fact. How about all the stuff I said about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin being effective treatments? Been proven to be a fact, folks. How about the fact that most of these cases that were reported were from increased testing using a flawed PCR cycling system, which was overcycled? Or how about the fact that herd immunity protects us if we let the virus spread naturally through the population? I think that's been established as a fact. Wasn't it Sweden? Or how about the biggest of all? And that's that the jab is unsafe. I've been saying that for quite some time. Now, these things I just listed were published in an article by the esteemed Scientific American back on October 12th, 2020. Scientific American, folks! You know, all I can say to all you normies out there, if any of you listen, and sometimes I was just telling my nephew Eric last night that sometimes I think I'm just preaching to the choir and I question why I even do this. I truly do, folks. But you know what? I think it has to be done. But all I can say to any normie that may have just tuned in, I told you so. You know, the jabbed and the boosted who are continually getting sick, if not disabled or even dying. You know, people like my beloved mother-in-law, God rest her soul. You know, she got her second booster last October around Halloween. Then about 2 weeks later, her leg started swelling. I was talking to the neighbor last night about it. And Judy, she noticed the same thing. And she warned my mother-in-law not to get that shot. Wind the clock ahead about 8-10 weeks, and my mother-in-law is gone. You know, folks, this next clip from Sky News spoke volumes with respect to that last conspiracy fact that the jabs are unsafe. Remember, that's something I've been saying. COVID jabs are unsafe. In fact, they're bioweapons. So let's remember that. Okay? So I'd like to play this next clip for you. And it's a clip put together by Sky News and their newscaster named Rita Pana or something like that. I just forgot her last name. But let's call up that clip. Didn't have it queued up. I apologize. What's her name there? Her name is Rita. I don't have it on the title here, but this is a clip put together. Oh, Rita Panahi. And she's exposing that the government's backpedaling on the vaccines. And she's focusing on some stuff Justin Trudeau said. And what she has is she'll have the screen split. And on the one side, she'll have then and she'll have now. And she'll cut between the two and freeze it. So that's what you're hearing. And that's why the apparent, because he's contradicting himself during the pandemic and after the pandemic, backpedaling now and trying to say he didn't force it upon the people of Canada, just like many of the state governments did here in the United States. But let's have a listen to this.
Now we're seeing politicians and health bureaucrats trying desperately to rewrite history, trying to convince people that they never advocated for crippling illiberal lockdowns, vaccine mandates, school closures. No, it's not their fault. They just made recommendations. I didn't think anyone would be stupid enough to actually follow them or enforce them. Along with Australia and New Zealand, Canada was right up there for COVID madness. But Prime Minister Justin Trudeau now claims that's just disinformation. He says he never insisted that everyone, young and old, healthy and infirm, get vaccinated against COVID. That's just fake news. Let's have a quick look at what Justin is saying now and what he said back then.
Misinformation and disinformation is carrying people to believe things that are untrue. And vaccinations is a perfect example of it.
Any vaccine we distribute to Canadians will be safe for Canadians.
You know, our people who've probably gotten very sick from vaccinations.
Every vaccine that is improved is safe for Canadians is uncompromising.
Well, individuals are allowed to make their own choices. There may be all sorts of different reasons why someone is hesitant to get vaccinated. There's no more excuses to not get your shot. And therefore, while not forcing anyone to get vaccinated,
enforcement measures in place will make sure that everyone is vaccinated.
I chose to make sure that all the incentives,
travelers across the country need to be fully vaccinated. People coming into the country need to be fully vaccinated.
We're there. Don't get to work in the public service. Don't get to go to movie theaters or gyms or restaurants.
That compilation could have been on Milk Bar TV. But Trudeau is not alone. This week we saw Anthony Fauci, the man responsible for so much of the dysfunction surrounding our COVID response. Well, Fauci now claims the heavy-handed response was not his doing. Speaking to the New York Times, he tried to absolve himself of all responsibility. Show me a school that I shut down, he said. Show me a factory that I shut down. Never. I never did. These people, my goodness, we can never forget what they inflicted on us. And there must be a reckoning for all the politicians and public health officials for the insane overreach, the inhumane policies inflicted on free people in the name of safety. They cannot be allowed to dodge responsibility.
Sitting here talking and had my microphone off. I apologize, folks. Now, if that doesn't reinforce Tucker's advice to all of us to hold the media in the utmost contempt, I don't know what would. But wait until you hear this next clip, folks. It'll blow your mind. What it does is it links the COVID jab to the 5G. And you remember, 5G towers were appearing in rapid order during this lockdown. These are weaponized delivery devices, so to speak. Plus, we have the AI. This next clip explains how the vax was intended to work. And, you know, my good friend Seth, he's studying these hydrogels. And we think that these hydrogels are actually delivery mechanisms for toxins and poisons. It's all a means to call the herd. Remember Deagle 2025? You know, they refer to us as the herd, useless eaters, also known as the goyim. Not my word, folks. That's their word. But what I'd like to do right now is play the first half of this clip, and it's titled Payload. And you'll understand why after you hear this. Now, this is a longer clip. It's about 8 minutes. But I think it's very important to hear this stuff. So what I'd like to do is play the clip for you, and I'll catch you on the other side.
After watching thousands of videos of people dropping dead from most likely the effects of the vaccine, we can start to see a pattern emerging in a few of them. What's become known as Twitchers, or the fish out of water syndrome. In this video, we will explore a new theory as to what's going on and why this is happening. There are a number of common factors in the videos of people suddenly collapsing. The victim is inside a building, often a large structure like a railway station, which due to the roof spans will likely have a lot of metal in the construction. Or the victim is inside a vehicle which is made of metal. Or in a building which has a lot of heavy concrete structure, like a shopping center. The victim is using a mobile phone at the time of the collapse, or is in close proximity to people who are using phones. The victim is just fine 1 minute, with everything seemingly normal for them. Then, very suddenly, they become disoriented, collapsing and convulsing. Usually with limbs shaking. And at the end they stretch out. So what on earth could be causing such a sudden and immediate death? And what is the link to cell phones? Dr. Buttar has talked about the vaccine containing what he calls some kind of payload.
What has been introduced within the vaccines as we know them, the COVID vaccines, regardless of the type, they have introduced into individuals through these vaccines and the subsequent boosters other components. I guess the right word would be, I had suspicions that they're introducing something into the vaccines that are designed to cause a detrimental effect at a time when they want the detrimental effect to take place, meaning that it's almost like a sleeper cell within your own body. It's there, you don't know it's there, there's no effect from it, but then it can be called upon or triggered. That this particular component within the vaccines, it's almost like a payload. So they call it a payload because it's not it wouldn't be like a normal onslaught, it would be like a massive onslaught. And so there's going to be a payload with some type of pathogen that will be activated by a sequence of 5G bursts, and these will be basically of a 16 to 18 gigahertz frequency, and it will be essentially three bursts that will be sequential and last a minute. And those will be designed, those bursts will actually create a signal that will release this payload that is within the hydrogel component of the vaccines.
And while Dr. Buttar has talked about the vaccine containing what he calls some kind of payload, Dr. Buttar refers to it as being viral, when it could in fact be a highly toxic venomous payload that would fit much closer to what we are actually seeing. In other words, a lethal set of toxins encapsulated by a nanoparticle delivery mechanism. But is there anything that's that lethal which can kill that quickly? Perhaps it's worth looking at nature to see if we can see a similar occurrence there.
ASF rat gas getting right down. Boom. He's in the hide too, by the way. I don't know if it's the man. Oh, got him. Oh, shit. Come on, cut. Stress gang, bitch. Open your mouth, boy.
The snail is hidden under the sand. They have a siphon that sticks up. The siphon is kind of like a nose. It can smell if there's prey in the water. Then the proboscis comes out, and it's kind of like a tongue. And on the tip of the tongue is a harpoon, which is filled with venom. And then when they harpoon the prey with the venom, their venom has things in them that will shut down everything, basically, in the prey. Blood sugar, locomotion. The prey then instantly becomes paralyzed. A mouth or a rostrum opens really wide, and it will then engulf a fish or a worm completely whole.
Snails can mix together hundreds of different venom elements to pack a powerful punch.
It is strong enough to kill people. It's been described as a cocktail of chemical components, and it is very varied. The record is 800 different proteins, molecules in that venom.
Researchers are mining this pharmaceutical vault, intrigued by how precisely the cone snail's venom can act on their prey's nervous system, disabling them in a seemingly endless combination of ways.
We can see that when these neurotoxins are injected straight into the prey, it can paralyze them almost immediately. Dr. Elizabeth Eads says the following.
Now proof that the lipid nano, when it is exposed to a minimum of 18 megahertz of 5G radiation, swells and releases cytotoxins. A crate venom, a cobra venom, and all kinds of other cytotoxins can be released.
It could be that the toxins in the payload are combinations of ones that occur in nature, like crate and king cobra snake venom and cone snail venom, but synthesized in a laboratory. So where do the mobile phones come into this story, and why are metal buildings and vehicles significant? If Dr. Buttar is correct, and the vaccine contains a set of toxins contained within a nanoparticle delivery system, then an unusually strong radio frequency from mobile phones could be accidentally bursting open the protection around the toxins and allowing them to be released direct into the bloodstream. Dense or metal-based building materials can reflect or absorb radio frequency signals, reducing the level of signal that reaches indoors. This creates coverage black spots, channel fading, and can cause transmissions to bounce off objects at an acute angle, creating signal reflections called multipath signals. This all makes it harder for the user's phone to connect to the nearest cell base station. At these times, the phone will increase its power manyfold in order to attempt to re-establish a connection. The system base station may also take advantage of what's called beamforming, which is a technique for directing signals to the mobile device, which needs it most. Beamforming is a technique where the antenna rays can steer and aim a beam directionally towards a phone. This uses some clever physics to concentrate the energy into a beam that gets pointed at the user. By grouping multiple antenna rays together, they can create a beam where all the waves from each antenna arrive at once. By shifting the phase of the antennas, essentially, the timing of the waves they're making, they can actually bend and direct this beam. Could it be that this...
What? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Can I have more coffee?
Yeah, Paul. It's serious. It's as serious as snake venom, Paul. Did you hear that? And I'm telling you, this matches up perfectly to what Dr. Artis reported on what we referred to as the snake venom theory. And folks, we covered that back here on the show, what, a year ago? Let's play this clip from NBC Phoenix Team 12, where they actually covered Dr. Artis's work. And that's what happens with the media. Little bits of truth will get out, and then, boom, they go down like whack-a-mole. And before I keep moving, folks, I want to apologize for any audio issues. I'm moving from, I don't like using that term transition anymore, just like I don't like using the term partner anymore. Nevertheless, I'm working on new microphones, new headsets. I'm going to try to upgrade everything here. So I apologize for some of that audio disruption during that last clip. Get this whole system put together over the next couple weeks. Just take a listen to this from September 5th, 2021. That's when we played it, folks. Have a listen.
Welcome back. Why do some people seemingly perfectly healthy die from COVID and others don't? It's a question baffling experts during this pandemic.
That sure is. A new research from the University of Arizona suggests we're closer to getting an answer. As Team 12's Jess Winters explains, it seems to boil down to an enzyme that's also found in rattlesnake venom.
What does this rattlesnake have to do with COVID-19 deaths?
We turned much of my research in my lab towards COVID a year and a half ago.
Chilton says he got blood samples from more than 100 patients in a New York ICU. They either had no COVID, a mild, moderate, or severe case of the virus. He did some fancy schmancy artificial intelligence in his lab and discovered two distinct patterns in the people who were dying from COVID.
These patterns, number one, told us that the vital organs were in trouble, but the other looked as if they were being attacked by some enzyme.
He says he then found the highest concentration of this enzyme that has ever been found in humans.
These levels attacking internal organs means multiple organ failure and death.
So where do the rattlesnakes come into play?
This enzyme is a humanized version, part of the same family as the active ingredient in snake venom.
In simple terms, this enzyme related to rattlesnake venom that's been found in humans is likely causing tremendous damage, leading to COVID-19 deaths.
And then they take you through all of the elevated enzymes in the blood samples of these people that are naturally found in rattlesnake venom and viper venom that are in levels they've never seen before. You want to know how they got there? 5 to 10 days of remdesivir. They've known since 2005.
You know, folks, that's chilling when you stop and think about what we just heard there. Did you hear that? And by the way, that wasn't Dr. Artis. This was another doctor. And isn't it something? He used artificial intelligence. But enough said on that. And God bless the team over there in Phoenix for spreading the truth. But I think we have to remember that we should be holding the mainstream media in the utmost contempt. And you know why? Because typically news stories start on a local level and then the mainstream national media picks them up. Yet you know what we heard from the mainstream media on this report? You know what we heard, folks? I'll tell you what we heard. In fact, let's listen. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for the Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19. George Floyd. Rice. BLM. Police reform. The 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called a beaten theater. In Japanese, ka means salt. Boo means damn. He means skill from the verb. Kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy. Stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all kabuki theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
This next one is chilling, folks. This is at the White House dinner for the press club. And Joe Biden, if it was him, it didn't look like him and it didn't sound like him, but you know they have the body doubles and the imposters. This individual representing Joe Biden, the imposter in chief, gloated over Tucker Carlson's ouster from Fox News. And the regime media didn't really know how to react. Now, you're only going to hear the audio, but you should have seen as the camera panned across the audience. And these are all journalists, so-called, supposed. Now, of course, they all hate Tucker Carlson and us MAGA-type people. And I don't like that term. But you know what I am? I'm a patriotic American. I'm a patriot, folks. And they have contempt for us. But they didn't really cheer. There were actually gasps. Just listen to this.
But the truth is, we really have a record to be proud of. Vaccinated the nation, transformed the economy, earned historic legislative victories and midterm results, but the job isn't finished. I mean, it is finished for Tucker Carlson. What are you wooing about like that? Like you think that's not reasonable? Give me a break. Just give me a break. Look, like I often say.
You know, a sitting president gloating over the ousting of an opposition free press member is downright disgusting in any free society, folks. Biden is a tyrant, no different than Hitler or Mussolini or any of them. Think about the stuff he's doing, folks. Think about all the tyrannical measures he has out in place. I could list them right now, but make that a homework assignment. Go out and just think about the comparisons. And if you can't figure it out, go out to my Twitter page at BroKen, and you'll see I have a meme up there. He's not my president, folks. In fact, he's the imposter in chief. Like I've been saying since November 4th, 2020, elections have consequences, and stolen elections have bad consequences. This is a Marxist plan. It is a Marxist plan, folks. And the Marxist plant herself, AOC, said the silent part out loud. And that is what the left really wants to be kept quiet. Do you remember what she said concerning Tucker Carlson? She said deplatforming works, and it's important. Now, let's all be clear here. Deplatforming is just politispeak for silencing. And that's a common tactic of tyrants, folks, in every country that has ever had a tyrannical government, from the Ukraine, to Hitler's Germany, to Mussolini's Italy, to what we see going on here in this country today. And it's the complete opposite of the basic principles that this nation was founded upon. And I'm going to tell you why with a little bit of detail in the Back to the Future segment, so stay tuned. You know, everyone at that press dinner knew that they could be next. The very group, many of whom worked to validate this election steal in 2020, this massive election fraud, many of them there know that they could be next if they step out of line. Isn't this sick, folks? You know, the globalistic left, Democratic Party, whatever you want to call them, they prefer a different kind of future, where you and me will be silent, compliant, and obedient. And that's what they intend for you and me and our children and grandchildren. So please, folks, wake up, spread the word, share these podcasts, do whatever you can in your sphere of influence, and think about it. If you did it, and if 1,000 other people did it, and then you multiply 1,000 thousands, and you have 1,000,000, and 1,000,000 millions, and you have 1,000,000,000, and before you know it, the world is woken up to this truth. Now, last week we covered the Fox News Dominion settlement, and I said that there's more to this than what the mainstream media is reporting. And if you read that lawsuit, it's so convoluted. It's so crazy. I wanted to sit down and read it. It's hundreds of pages. I couldn't do it. It's crazy. They miss all of the key points concerning the way these voting machines work and what all the experts talked about concerning data logging and fractional counts and above one counts and being tied to the internet. None of that stuff was really mentioned there. So they just got into he said, she said, name-calling type of stuff. You know, 2022 in the Fox News on that, that was another election steal. Look, we had Fetterman here. We had Katie Hobbs over in Arizona. And there were a few others. There's no way these people could have won. No way. And there's Biden gloating over what Fox News did to Tucker. As I told you last week, I suspect that Fox News is in on it, and Fox News settled with Dominion because they wanted to cement the narrative that the 2020 and 2022 elections were free and fair. Remember, this is the network that called the Arizona election for Biden back in 2020 while the votes were still being counted. I mean, they had like 3% of the votes counted. I think the polls had just closed. There's no way. So what did they know, folks? Well, they knew that an election steal was underway. When you stop and think about it, $750 million is a bargain price to pay for the overthrow of the greatest, or I should say once greatest nation that ever existed. It's really sad. It's really sick. And I really don't know what you can do about it other than pray, stand on the ground, the rock of truth, and continue to stand on the ground and rock of truth. So how do you accomplish the goals of Karl Popper? Remember his goals from last week? You know, he was the one that inspired George Soros through the Open Society book he wrote. And Popper referred to the institutional improvements of the direct liberal democracy. It's a coup, folks. Well, what you need to accomplish that, this bloodless revolution, is money and lots of it. And there's no better way to make huge amounts of money than the way George Soros did, and that was by fiat currency manipulation. And then once you amass tens of billions of dollars, you cozy up with a rising name in politics who shares the same Marxist views that you do, and at the time that was Hillary Clinton. And then this one clip was discovered by a man named Michael Jarrus. And thank you, Michael Jarrus. You don't find this on the internet because it's been deep sixed, so to speak. It's been wiped from existence for the most part. But Michael Jarrus had it in his archive. And I'd like to play this for you. It's quite an eye-opener. And just listen to the – it's Hillary Clinton introducing George Soros, this man who just raped, I think it was the British pound at the time, made tens of billions of dollars on this currency speculation. It should be illegal to do what these people do, folks. But nonetheless – he's rising to power. He's starting to cozy up with the right people in the Marxist movement. In this case, it was Hillary Clinton. And then listen to what he says at the end, the very last portion of this one-minute clip.
Not enough for America's future that some participate and others don't. We have been given an extraordinary blessing. And at this moment in time, our country needs us. And we need people like George Soros, who is fearless and willing to step up when it counts. So please join me in welcoming George Soros.
It is the first time that I feel that I need to stand up and to do something really and become really engaged in the electoral process in this country.
Not enough.
Did you hear what he said? Really engaged in the electoral process. So what's the big deal here? Well, wind the clock ahead 20, 30 years, continue destroying the wealth of sovereign nations through your currency speculation. That's how George Soros made his money, folks. He didn't make anything. He didn't mine anything. He didn't invent anything. He raped and pillaged sovereign currencies. So after 20 years of doing that and building up a huge Marxist war chest, you know what? You have people like Republican candidate for Secretary of State in the great state of Georgia, I believe it was, but don't quote me on that. I think it's Georgia. Steve Nipper has this ad out right now, and you got to listen to this. He actually calls George Soros out.
I'm Steve Nipper, running for Secretary of State. Our voter rolls are controlled by a George Soros system. No wonder two-thirds of our counties have more voters in them than citizens.
What?
Yeah. We have a system named ERIC that's been banned in 9 other Republican states. Our elections, they're run by big tech vendors, the voting machine companies, and they can spy on early voting results.
What?
Yeah. If you want to reverse this mess, vote for Steve Nipper, Secretary of State.
Folks, that was an ad by a Republican candidate for Secretary of State. You know, a lot of normies will call this conspiracy theory, as the fact checkers will, you know. But the truth is, this is conspiracy fact. There was a report out from KentuckyToday.com. You can go out there. And it says in Kentucky, 38 counties have more voters than voting age residents. This is sick, folks. These are significant issues, and they're not being corrected. And it's been a decade since the United States Department of Justice was supposed to be addressing these things, yet they turn a blind eye. And this review by Kentucky Today discovered that 38 of the 120 counties in Kentucky still have more people registered to vote than they have registered than they have citizens over the age of 18. And this is what part of that ERIC system does. It harvests names. And, you know, we're getting these strange mailings to our house now. Merlin Blanda and Erica Schwerkenboff or something like that. And then we started getting all these applications for mail-in ballots. And I talked to some of the people at the plant, and they're noticing the same thing. Could this be how they get it? I don't know, folks. Could this be how they get more votes than voters in a county? By creating these false names or by resurrecting the dead or whatever it is. I don't even know who these people are, and I keep sending it back to the post office. No one by this name here. And they keep coming, folks. You know, these discrepancies identified by comparing the latest voter rolls with population estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau were found across the state of Kentucky, and they're popping up in both urban and rural counties alike. Folks, I've been telling you about this since November 2020. It happened in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And how do I know? Because I went out to their state-managed websites on voter rolls and population, and I looked at the U.S. Census, and there were more people voting than there were people registered to vote. And I sent this information to Washington, D.C., and never heard a thing. Never heard one single thing, folks. You know, we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Yellow Brick Road segment.
Follow the yellow brick road. 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 Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river above. You'll find it in the river of wind, if ever a river was. If ever a river of wind, there was the river of Oz. We won because of the wonderful things he does. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz.
Now remember, folks, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, folks. It doesn't mean that you can't use money. Money's a tool, no different than a shovel, a hammer, or even a gun. It's how you use it that matters. It's how you treat it that matters. Now, I'm going to say something, and it may sound off the wall, but the World Economic Forum is a fascist movement of big government, big tech, and big money. Now, you may be appalled by that, or you may say, right on, bro, Ken, but guess what? I didn't say that. Fox News guest Ned Run, he's the one that said this live on air. He was on Laura Ingraham's show, and it just reminded me of what the WEF says all the time, that we'll have nothing, we'll own nothing, and we'll be happy. Just listen to this clip from Ned Run on the Laura Ingraham show, saying this live. Let's have a listen.
Is that the goal of this crowd is to kind of create the same panic about climate change that they successfully created around COVID. Do I have this wrong?
No, you have it correct. I mean, first of all, we have to accept the World Economic Forum is a fanatical political organization that uses fear and manipulation like COVID hysteria, like the hoax of global warming, to really facilitate people thinking that somehow they're the saviors, but really all you're doing is helping them accomplish their goal, which really is a global public-private fascist movement and fusion of big government, big tech, big money to create a technocratic ruling elite, which conveniently is them. And really, Laura, if you want to look at it a different way too with the World Economic Forum, they want to create feudalism 2.0 in which we are serfs and they are the lords ruling over us. You'll have nothing and be happy is one of the things that comes out of Davos. That's what they're aiming for. They're aiming for feudalism in which we are serfs and we should be happy that they are ruling over us.
Wow. Did you hear that? You know, Laura Ingraham won't be long for Fox. If she continues down this path, folks, she won't. Just wait and see. And that's because the elite Murdoch family that owns Fox, among other things like some of the big publishing houses, Fox is now complying and starting to march lockstep with the New World Order crowd. They are. And not so slowly anymore, folks. And I don't know why. Maybe the pressure was just too much. Sadly, Fox is now complying, and they are morphing into the hive mindset of the Borg, so to speak, you know? And they're transforming rather than informing the sheeple. Just like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Google, Wikipedia, where the majority of the sheep go to get their information. And you know what I say about all of those mass media giants?
It's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No. Their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian Guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
Amen, Tucker Carlson. Hey, folks, we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta. Yeah. Okay. What's that? Oh. You want me to make an announcement? Are you serious? You want me to make an announcement? I don't know about that, Henrietta. You serious? You want me to make this announcement? Okay. Henrietta wants me to give you all a heads up, folks. She's calling it the feed update from Henrietta. So, okay. After shifting from Tractor Supply to another feed, a locally produced feed. Henrietta announces that her and the girls have resumed egg production, folks. These hens, in their sixth year of production, are laying eggs again. In fact, one day last week, these five hens laid 8 eggs. So that means the 3 of them had to lay 2, or one of them laid 3, and another one laid 2. And they all laid 1. I don't know, but we had 8 eggs one day, folks. One day. I haven't seen that kind of production since these hens were in their first year of laying. So they're laying again, and we're averaging over a dozen of eggs a week from 5 lazy old hens. And that's what Henrietta wanted me to tell you. But right now, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our opium reports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, you know, folks, there's an awakening going on with Tucker Carlson. And this next clip brings me great hope. And I just want you to hear Tucker talking about the 9/11 attacks and specifically Building 7.
Offended by conspiracy. If you go on TV tonight and say, I think the earth is flat, people will just laugh at you. They don't care if you think the earth is flat. It's not a threat to anyone. But if you say, like, what actually happened with Building 7? Like, that is weird, right? It doesn't, like, what
right,
is that?
Right.
If you were to say something like that on television, they'd flip out. They would flip out. You'd, like, lose your job over that. Why? Why? It's my country.
Right.
This is an attack on my country? Can I ask you, like, I don't really understand. Do buildings actually collapse? No, maybe they do. I don't know. But, like, why can't I ask questions about that? Anything you're not allowed to ask questions about is something you should be asking more questions about. As far as I'm concerned.
Don't you just love his laugh, folks? It's really something else. Anyways, I'm hopeful because Tucker's waking up. I mean, he's questioning. And if he continues his research, he ought to get into the 9/11 Commission. And I hope somebody sends him James Corbett's fantastic documentary on the 9/11 Commission. But he has a way to go on cosmology and the space program live, folks. Is the Earth flat? I don't know. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that we've been lied to concerning the Apollo mission, conventional cosmology, and the stated size of the Earth and the said layout of the solar system. And why do I say that? Because simple science and math disproves the accepted narrative. It does. In fact, we did an entire series back in 2016, I believe it was, here on SDG. It was titled The Time Is Now. It was co-hosted by Sister Kathy, Brother Charles, Sister Jackie, and it featured Zen Garcia. It's out there. Just go to my banner and type in The Time Is Now. And I think we did about 8 or 9 episodes. They're full of facts and information and clips, and we cover all of these things from the Apollo mission to conventional cosmology. And when you stop and think about some of the things we're being told and we believe so blindly, you got to wonder out loud why. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, I don't know if you heard about this, folks, but the rhino Nikki Haley, the turncoat, is running for the Republican nomination for president of the United States. She basically stated that Biden's likely to die within 5 years. And when you vote for Biden, you're actually voting for word salad queen herself, Kamala Harris. Then as soon as she came out with this statement on her campaign stump, the Financial Times publishes this article citing actuarials saying that an 82-year-old Biden wouldn't be too ancient to start a second term. Folks, give me a break. He would be. But they're saying, and he's going to finish at the ripe old age of 86. 86 years old, folks. So they took this information from an actuarial firm known as Club Vita, and this is just plain craziness. And here's the reason I'm saying that, folks. Oh, and they go on to say, well, you have to understand that people like Biden and Trump and other politicians, they get the best health care. Well, so do CEOs, folks. And, you know, it's mandatory in most companies for CEOs to step down at the age of 65. And these CEOs, they get the best health care. Now, if that isn't absurd enough, Senator Chris Coons comes out with this little clip. Just have a listen.
The vice president's ready to run and ready to be president should that ever happen. I know our president has great confidence in her, and so do I.
Did you hear that, folks? But is she really ready to be the president of the United States of America? Well, I'd like you to listen to this clip. It was also put together over at Sky News by Rita Panay. It's about a minute or two long. What is it here? A minute and 36 seconds long. Just listen to this. And we've got Senator Chris Coons saying this cuckoo is ready to be president.
But first, let's check in with the most powerful woman in the world, the woman who is just one 80-year-old heartbeat away from becoming the leader of the free world. And what we love most about Kamala Harris on this show are her inspiring speeches. She gave another one this week.
For us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past but the future.
Look, Rowan, I'm contextualizing it. Oh, yes, I can feel the moment in time. That moment is now in time. It really does make you think, doesn't it? That rousing speech was right up there with this career highlight from the Veep.
We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limit it to what we have seen.
Oh, I thought it was good. It's worth remembering that the vice president has an entire team working for her, including many professional speechwriters, and those people either loathe her with a burning passion or as hopelessly incompetent as she is.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Oh, Paul, I'm very serious. Like I said, Biden and Harris and Katie Hobbs over in Arizona, appointed as the de facto governor. And how about Fetterman over here? These are leaders known as dog kings. And remember, we talked about dog kings, and it's the way a vanquished nation is humiliated by the elite, by the power brokers who took them over. Well, listen to what David Icke had to say about our leaders.
Joe Biden. I mean, The man is suffering from dementia. End of frickin' story. Everyone can see it. Elephant in the living room. You look at this guy who imposed fascism on Victoria, Australia, Daniel Andrews. Moron. Then you have people like Macron. You have the moron of morons in Canada, Trudeau. There was a woman called Kerry Chant in New South Wales, I think it was, who was their chief medical officer. Chief medical officer, you wouldn't let her diagnose acne. Moron. Why do they put so many morons in positions of power? Because if they can get you to see, because it's bloody obvious, that a moron is telling you to do something, and you still do it knowing they're moronic, they got your self-respect.
Wow. He said it all right there, folks. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, as I promised you last week, and I put a lot of thought into this, I wanted to share with you my thoughts over the last 30 years, 35 years, and what I've awakened to. So I've been seeing this since the 1990s. Everything that we talk about on the show and this moving at warp speed now, I began to see it when I was working with William Cooper at CAGI as a researcher for the Hour of the Time in this newspaper he published called Veritas. We, the people, are facing the most horrifying technocratic takeover of the world since the history of mankind began, folks. This power elite, these Luciferians, are hell-bent on destroying humanity, humanity and all unnatural life. They are literally in this process right now. Remember, I've been talking about Deagle 2025 since the early days of Tribulation Now, somewhere back in the 2012 timeframe. And on my location report, back when we buried my dad, and I was spending a lot of time at the cemetery making sure that everything was taken care of right and the marker was put down. And, you know, when you're responsible for that, you're back and forth from the cemetery taking that process through to completion. Well, I did a location report when I stumbled. I was just driving around the cemetery. I was looking to see if there was another way to get out in the back, but it's one way in and one way out. I came upon this massive field that was scraped down to the clay about 6 feet below the actual ground level. And there were these stacks and stacks of those big polypropylene FEMA coffins. This was in Greenwood Memorial Park that I discovered this, folks. And folks, the elections, don't get me started on that. I've been talking about that for decades. They were never about democracy, at least for the last generation or two. And the scamdemic, it was never about health. The powers that be should not be, because they were always about destruction and death. They want you and me dead or enslaved. This is the painful truth that you must accept. But we the people are way greater numbers than them. Remember I talked about the bug story? What was it? Where the ants and the grasshoppers, and the ants stood up and rebelled against the elite grasshoppers. We can stand up and we must fight back, but not with guns and not with weapons, with the law and with our voice. We must never lose sight of the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is this is an epic battle between good and evil. And that's what we're fighting against. I mean, think about some of these crazy narratives they're foisting upon us. Climate change. It's an even worse fraud than the plandemic. You know, the so-called green tech is a gigantic scam, folks. The best and most efficient means of conveyance is through what they call petrochemicals. I want to say petroleum. And that whole thing we've covered, that's not from fossils. That's a deep earth adiabatic process, folks. You know, the green product revolution needs both mining and manufacturing to produce their batteries and all their other devices, and that means they need coal, gas, and oil. And the mining of these rare earth minerals is more environmentally toxic and destructive than any of the legacy products out there. I mean, they've come so far with internal combustion engines now. You know, essentially all that comes out of that gas pipe, whether it's diesel or gasoline anymore, I should say exhaust pipe, the only thing that comes out of that exhaust pipe is CO2 and water. You know, all I can say is screw their damned green agenda. I'm telling you, folks, this is evil. This is malevolent. This is Luciferian. And this is pointing us towards the Antichrist. Behind it all, hell-bent on enslaving all of earth. That's why you need to be right with the Lord. And I'm going to get into that at the end of the show. And that's the truth about what's hidden behind all the madness and the suffering and what's being deliberately inflicted upon we the people. So we have to stand up and say no and fight against this total slavery and feudalism. Resist, folks. I'm telling you, resist. Do not comply. I've been thinking a lot about this. in this next comment. And I know how hard this is going to be for all of us, including myself, because I run my business off of this, and I've got the smartwatch now to do my workouts and monitor my health and all the other fun stuff that these devices can do. But we've got to ditch these smartphones and these smartwatches. You know, our little black mirrors, our modern versions of the ankle bracelet, so to speak. And soon, if we don't, they're going to become our jailer. They are. They're going to use QR codes to force us to comply and to track our every move. You know, we ought to go back to landlines or at least flip phones. And then let's think about money for a minute. I used to always use cash, and then I started to write checks, and then I started to use my debit card. And then when I got all these bonus points on Discover Card, you know what I was guilty of doing? Me, the guy that understands all this. I was putting everything on my Discover Card because I got a 1.5% or 2% cash back bonus, and then Terry and I would use that to buy things for the house. We've got to get back to cash, and we've got to use cash as much as possible. Remember I told you about our local auto parts store that raised its prices by 4% on credit and debit card purchases, but they still offer a 4% discount for cash. That's one way of fighting back, folks. So insist on cash. Cash. Use cash. You know, payrolls at all the great companies across the world used to be in cash. They had a teller window on payday, and you'd line up and get paid in cash. You know, digital payments will soon move to CBDC, and then we'll have total slavery. Now, another thing that you can get me going on is the whole nuclear argument. Now, I don't think we should ever use those, and I question a lot about that entire narrative. But, you know, there's a lot of garbage out there, too. So no to any kind of nukes that cause death and destruction. But this whole anti-nuclear peace movement that then moves into the generation of power, nuclear power plants are some of the safest power plants in the world, folks. And they talk about climate crisis and all this other garbage. We have a fairly green environment with our conventional means of generation and conveyance. And what they're pushing for is the complete surrender of our autonomy, our national sovereignty. They're driving to enslave we the people in this Luciferian New World Order agenda. And they've rebranded it now as the Great Reset. These diabolical goofballs over at Davos, you know, the Klaus Schwab crowd and all of his goons, you know, he's basically admitted, and we've played this clip over and over, and I'd like to play this clip for you right now, but he's basically admitted that he controls the governments of many of the Western, quote-unquote, democracies.
When I mention now names like this Merkel, Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the president, who is a young global leader. But what is important?
Folks, I'm telling you, these are tyrants, and they lust for total power and control. They all should be tried and jailed for life. And all of their dystopian organizations should be dismantled. I'm talking about the UN, the WEF, the IMF, the WHO, the Bank of International Settlements, NATO, BlackRock, Vanguard, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the CFR, and don't forget George Soros and his Open Society Foundation. These are evil, satanic predators, folks, with a globalistic, technocratic, elite agenda of eugenics, depopulation, and call it what it is, folks, genocide. And they're using these bioweapons, these poison jabs that we talked about opening of the show, along with war and geoengineering and EMF radiation, starvation and economic collapse. It's all there, folks. The Great Reset, Agenda 2023, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, call it whatever you want, plans on getting rid of billions of what they call useless eaters. And they plan to use nanotechnology to turn the survivors into robotized, compliant slaves, for lack of a better term, folks. This is transhumanism, folks, and it's all coming together. We need to wake up and do not comply. I want to play this minute and 17-second clip from David Icke. I think he exposes the WEF dark agenda so perfectly in this minute-long clip.
Why has the Dutch government, a guy called Rutte, the prime minister, completely owned by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, why has he just announced that the Netherlands, the second biggest exporter of food in the world, is targeting farmers to destroy them and get them off the land, which is where all these farming protests in the Netherlands have come from. At a time of food shortages and supply chain problems, you are targeting the second biggest exporter of food in the bloody world to destroy its farming base? Why are you doing that? If people depend on you for what's left of the food, you control them. Where food is abundant and cheap, you do not control them. Where energy is cheap and abundant, you do not control them. Scarcity equals dependency equals control. And that's why they're targeting the food chain, they're targeting the energy supply, they're targeting everything.
Well said, David Icke. These are psychopath megalomaniacs, folks, that want to play God by turning all life into a digitized metaverse. And you know what, folks? If you read Pilgrim's Regress by C.S. Lewis, he talks about a portion of this journey, which was on this barren plain. And that's essentially what C.S. Lewis was prophesying, where we're at right now. A more demonic, sickening idea is nearly impossible to imagine, for me at least, folks. I don't know about you. I, for one, am appalled and horrified at the insane, tyrannical protocols that have nothing to do with health or the environment or the economy or anything else. They have everything to do with totalitarian control, and we must reverse this now. Make the world and America back to like it used to be. You know what I'm talking about? We need to be free again. I was just talking to some of the younger people at the plant, and I said, when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s, you guys and gals would not even believe the freedoms we had, the fun we had. And now everything's controlled. You know, I'm not afraid of this moronic, satanic, money changer crowd. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not. We need to be calling them out. We need to be condemning them, along with all the politics and the imposter in chief. They have no power to lawfully enforce anything they're doing. You know, if we don't do this, soon they're going to be barking at us, show me your papers. Now, they're not going to be papers like back in Nazi Germany, folks. They're going to be a digital ID, maybe an implant under your skin. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but it's not going to be good. So we need to say no to these scams on the Green New Deal, the Build Back Better, the CBDC currency. We have to stop this terrible tyranny. These technocrats are hell-bent on killing you and me, folks. And we have to say no to all these mandates and these decrees and all these other things, from face masks to jabs to everything else in between. I want my life back, folks. And enough said. Right now, it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So I was thinking, how did they gain this control? And then it dawned on me, oh, that's back when they incorporated the United States of America. So we're going to wind the clock back to 1871. I think it was Ulysses S. Grant was president. When you read about him, you never read about this bankruptcy, the bankruptcy of the United States. All you read about is his personal bankruptcy. But there was a bankruptcy after this, the war between the states and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, who was trying to reestablish lawful money controlled by Congress. So this coup was launched to rewrite the Constitution and to put "we the people" in all capital letters, which essentially turned us from a living, breathing soul to what they know or call a straw man or a corporation. And if you ever noticed on any of your government documents, all your letters in your name, including your middle name, are all capitalized, that's because you have become a corporate entity operating under contract with the United States of America, which in 1871 was also converted to a corporation. Now, if you go out and check all the fact checkers, they're going to say this is all conspiracy, but it isn't. You can follow the legal trail. There was an act passed in 1871. Read it. And you're going to see that they converted the organic United States of America into the corporate United States of America. There was a transfer. Now, this was all done very sneakily. They transferred the power from "we the people," and they destroyed the Constitution and converted it to a corporation. Now, when the elite did that, it made the citizens of the United States property of the corporation, which was headquartered in Washington, D.C. Now, this action literally converted Washington, D.C. into a foreign entity on the American states. And this was established by a loan from the Vatican and the City of London that changed D.C. into a city-state just like they were, or at least a portion of London was and the Vatican is. Now, this corporate entity then ruled over the people who became their property, so to speak. And that's how they do all of this income tax and what your Social Security number's about. And there's the Rings of Power documentary. It covers all of this. But at this point, we the people's constitutional rights were taken from us, yet no one or very few realized any of this. So then how do we apply this to today's freaky deaky news? Well, I could list fiat money, the income tax, all that they were doing with mandates with regard to vaccinations and masks. Oh, but what the heck, you know? Just re-listen to Ken's Corner. I talked about it all in there. So why? Why do we have all this craziness, folks? Why is all of this happening? That's the $64,000 question to speak. Well, we started to talk about some of it last week. Remember last week? We learned about the presence of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. And it prevents Satan from completely having his way here on earth. That's the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. But what happens when the Holy Spirit's removed? Well, we talked about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the church and the fact that the Holy Spirit makes his habitation in us, the vessels. We become his temples. But there's going to come a time when the church is removed. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit is taken away as God's bride, Jesus' bride, is taken away. And the way will be cleared for Satan's Superman, the Antichrist, to be revealed. So last week we talked about three of the 6 points that I'd like to cover from this passage out of Thessalonians. You know, last week we talked about how God's going to be mocked and how the mystery of iniquity is being restrained right now by the Holy Spirit in the body of believers. And then how the ministry of the Spirit is going to be removed, how we're going to be taken out. And today I'd like to wrap it up by talking about how the mastery of Satan and his minion are all going to be revealed. All this stuff's going to come together. But we do have to stand and resist, folks. We do have to stand on righteousness. And then I'll talk about how the misery of man's going to be redoubled, and it's going to be awful, and you'd rather be dead than to be here. And finally, and praise the Lord for this, how the majesty of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to be revealed. So I want to walk through these 3 points, the mastery, the misery, and the majesty. Let's get started with the mastery of Satan. And I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And I did a whole series on that. I mean, a whole show on that, folks, remember? Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh, that's that last part, the revelation of Jesus Christ, folks. Praise the Lord. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Folks, I'm telling you, when you read this and reflect upon this, you see how terrifying this passage is. There will literally be Satan incarnate here on earth. He's going to receive this man, this Antichrist, will literally receive his power directly from Satan. In verse 9, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Just think about that, folks. This man will have immense intellectual capacity. He's going to have an overpowering authority and extraordinary hatreds and incredible techniques of manipulation. You know, he's going to be so incredible that men will line up and say, I'll die for you, sir. And women, they'll faint when they're in his presence. And the children, this man, this Antichrist, will be their rock star. And those left behind will literally marvel and wonder at the beast. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 reads, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into the perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. That's why I said the people left behind are going to wonder and marvel, whose names were not written on the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they is not, and yet is. Now, this term beast doesn't refer to the outward appearance of this individual, but rather an expression of their character, the inward nature of this creature. The beast or the Antichrist is the second person in Satan's unholy trinity, okay? Just like God has a holy trinity, well, Satan's the great ape. Remember, he copies everything, so he has his own holy untrinity. So first you have the dragon, that's Satan. You have the Antichrist, that's the beast. Well, that'd be the equivalent of the Messiah, so to speak, Jesus. And then you have the false prophet. And that's Satan's sinister minister of propaganda. The media, folks, who's probably coaching them right now. And that would be the Holy Spirit and God's Holy Trinity. Now, the false prophet will cause those whose names are not written in the book of life to fall down and worship him, the beast, I should say, also known as the Antichrist. Just like the Holy Spirit moves you and me as believers, true believers, to worship Jesus. Now, does that sound like something the media is capable and equipped to accomplish? Just think of NFL football. American Night, Monday Night Football, you know, or American Idol, and all the associated frenzy that goes along with these shows. So I would say, yes, the media is capable of stirring the people up. You get my point? Now, this beast, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will ride into the world with fame and fortune. And that's why I've been saying I think Donald Trump could be the Antichrist. And I know that's going to offend a lot of you out there, but the key plank of this individual's platform will be peace. Isn't that what Donald Trump preaches? Isn't he famous? Doesn't he have a huge fortune? Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25 says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come up to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy peoples. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but shall be broken without hand. So Daniel opens by talking about the reign of certain kings and a time of transgression. That sound familiar? Does that sound like our current political crisis? Then Daniel says, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. Now that phrase, fierce countenance, that means that no one can stand up to him. Isn't that what's happening right now in the Republican race for the nomination? Isn't that what's happening? And understanding dark sentences means that he's versed in the occult. Did you ever see the inside of Trump's penthouse in New York? Look at some of the symbology, some of the photos, folks. Then in Daniel verse 24, he writes, and his power shall be mighty, not by his own power. This means he gets the power from others, including the devil himself. And if you study some of the things that are going on, there's over 200 military generals supporting Donald Trump right now. And there's people talking about the fact that there's going to be a military operation separate and distinct from Congress, the Office of the President, and the Supreme Court to actually reestablish power for Donald Trump to make everything right. Then Daniel goes on to say, he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, the holy people are those who want to be set apart from God, the chosen people, the Hebrews, also known as the Israelites, and wrongly called by most everyone out there the Jews. Now, in verse 25, it says, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Did you hear that, folks? By peace he's going to destroy many. Friends, this Antichrist will come as an imitator. Remember I talked about anti has two terms or meanings. The prince of peace, Jesus Christ, will be imitated by the Antichrist. So he'll come in place of Jesus Christ, in addition to being against or opposed to him. Now, this is amazing. But Jesus knew that this would happen. And he said in John chapter 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his name, him he will receive. So I'm telling you, folks, who's the most popular people right now, yet people who may not really see the truth, may not be saved? Donald Trump. So this Messiah of the devil will come out of the European Union. And I know that part kind of doesn't fit, but perhaps it does. And the reason I'm saying that is there's this huge crisis over there right now. Who's to say that Donald Trump isn't going to take leadership of the EU also? And he will make peace with Israel. And he will help Israel rebuild the temple. Oh, he's already moved the government back to Jerusalem. The embassy, they recognize Jerusalem as the lawful capital of Israel. Now, I can go on and on and on with this, folks. And if you're interested, why don't you email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll show you the verses. But right now, what I want to do is I want to move to the misery of man. So Satan's going to have his way in this world for a season through his Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And that's going to cause the misery of man to just magnify beyond belief. So after the mastery of Satan is released through his Antichrist, man's misery will redouble. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 read, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So who does God send this strong delusion to? Well, all these crazy people out there that are embracing all this goofy ideology, from the trans movement to this live and let live attitude to the green agenda where they worship the creation instead of the creator. So since they have not heard the truth, or they heard the truth and rejected it, God turned them over to their sinful desires, because they preferred that instead of Jesus. It reminds me of those verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read those for you right here, folks. So this is St. Paul writing to Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Did you get that? Having a form of godliness. Did you hear that, folks? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Folks, remember what I always say. The worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. I'm warning you folks that when the Antichrist comes, he'll turn this world into a giant prison camp, and we will all be numbered. That's what I was talking about with the CBDC. It's all underway, and it just didn't start, folks. It's been underway for quite a while. You know, there was a bill passed by the Senate back in 2011. It was called the Infinite Detention Bill. Look it up. It's out there, folks. Did you hear about this on the lying mainstream media? Well, of course not. Or did you know that the Congress just expanded their powers beyond the budget? And they're doing that again now. They're debating all of this to do a debt extension. I'll tell you, like I've been saying, the mainstream media's purpose isn't to inform, but it's to vex. That's why I believe it's part of Satan's unholy trinity. Think about it for a while. Think about everything we covered on the show, everything I've been talking about for years, and just look at how it's all coming together. So preparation is in place to turn this world into a prison planet on a global scale by the Antichrist, who will wage war upon man. The control grid will be run by these AI systems and all of this integration into the social credit score and the CBDC. They even have a computer in Brussels called the Beast. Did you know that? I remember this quote I read years ago, and I wrote it down, and I never forgot it. The more machines act like men, the more men will act like machines. Isn't that the transhumanism movement, folks? Have you noticed how regimented our lives have become? The control grid is in place, folks, so I'm warning you, beware. But also realize there's hope out there. This isn't all doom and gloom. There is hope because the majesty of Jesus will be revealed at the perfect time and in the perfect place. And if you think I'm a pessimist, I'm a student of the Bible, and more importantly, a bond slave to Jesus Christ. These facts, these signs, these times should give us great joy, great hope, because they herald the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Paul didn't write these things to scare you and me. No, he wrote it to comfort believers. And I hope this message comforts you too. But it won't unless you believe. It won't unless you surrender, forsaking all, and trust Jesus. Now, if it scares you, the question isn't, is it true? The question is, who do you trust? Are you trusting yourself and society through the government and all the institutions, or Satan through the media? Or do you trust the Word of God, also known as Jesus Christ? Remember, his faith, his true saving faith, is when you can boldly and confidently declare, forsaking all, I trust him. So who are you trusting, folks? Friends, when all of this darkness of Satan is unleashed upon the world, when all this happens, the only thing that will save you and me, the only thing that'll shine forever, is the Lord Jesus Christ. His glory will shine forevermore. In fact, we won't even need the sun anymore to give us light, because we will have the Son of Righteousness as our light. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Folks, I love that. Jesus shall consume it all with his word. Brightness there literally means the outshining, the glory, the majesty of his coming. Can you picture this? The key to this entire message, folks, is to understand that there are two parts to the second coming of Jesus. The first part is that Jesus comes for his bride, the true church, the church of Philadelphia. And you can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he's coming. And he's coming back for his bride, the five wise virgins, folks. Now, listen here and notice just how this verse begins. And then, did you hear that? Then, folks, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And then shall the Antichrist, that wicked, be revealed, and our Lord comes for his bride. Now, one reason some have a problem with understanding is that it's not taught in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets didn't understand the rapture, and they certainly didn't understand the majesty of the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, they understood it to a sense, but not in this full glory. And I guarantee you they didn't understand the mystery of the rapture. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Friends, I'm telling you, this whole topic of the rapture, it's a mystery. So there's a mystery of his coming, and that's the rapture. And there's the majesty of his coming, and that's the revelation. He's coming in brightness, power, and great glory. Now, many verses describe his coming in a variety of ways, and they're all figurative. You know, Matthew says in 24, verse 7, like lightning, just a bolt out of the blue. You ever see those days in the summer, everything's nice, and then there's a thunderclap, and a flash in the sky and a thunderclap. And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, secretly. So in a sense, he's coming like a thief. And then he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, sovereignly. And that means he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Antichrist will literally be destroyed by his word and the brightness of his coming. So yeah, he's going to have his army. But he's not going to need it. He's going to literally open his mouth and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God is going to come out and he's going to say, drop dead. So quite literally, at the world's darkest hour, with the Antichrist on the throne in Jerusalem and the Jews persecuted and the peoples of the world enslaved, Jesus will return in his full glory. Praise the Lord. And by his very word, all the forces aligned against him in the battle of Armageddon will fall. All the bombs, all the fighter jets, all the drones, all the Star Wars gadgets, they will fall in glory of his word. The Bible says he will slay them with the sword that goeth out of his mouth. So the question is, and this is the only question that matters, folks, are you rapture ready? Well, how do you tell? Well, ask yourself this question. Do you love Jesus? And if not, I encourage you, folks, to repent. And then trust. And after you trust Jesus, just obey him. So you may be scratching your head. You may be saying, well, I don't understand, Bro Jim. What should I do? Well, I'm telling you, folks, there's no other way, but it's very simple. Just put your hands up like you're surrendering to a guard with a gun that says, put your hands up. And then just declare, forsaking all, I trust him. And, folks, when you do that, something supernatural happens. If you say, I forsake it, Jesus, I can't figure it out, I trust you, and you start living for Jesus, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Has there ever been a day that you love Jesus more than you do right now? Well, if so, then you may be beginning a state of backsliddenness. So what you want to do every day is love Jesus more than you did yesterday. So love him more today than yesterday, and more tomorrow than today. And if not, repent, and then trust, and then obey. It's simple. Repent and trust, and then trust and obey. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus loves you. He's given you a name. He knows every hair on your head. He fearfully and wonderfully created you, and he calls you his sheep. And he calls each and every one of us by name, and we know his voice. And he's calling you today. So answer his call, because I'm telling you, folks, there's still time. And then once you do that, stand on the words of Winston Churchill and St. Paul and many others and never give in. No, never, ever.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, once you're saved and once you've surrendered to Jesus, the King, and made him your Lord and Savior, that same power lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and recognize that same power. I love you all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.